This is the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast. It's great to be with you here recapping episode 4 of Katie's season. We have a very special guest. Trista Sutter is on recapping with us today to continue the Bachelorette recap series. But first, I want to ask Ben, how's your week been? Oh. How you doing, my friend?
Holding in there. Yeah, Trista's going to be on. Actually, at a later date here, I want to be on Trista's podcast. I did an interview with her earlier about just kind of the emotions and the mental state of, you know, of my life and of Trista's life and so many other lives. So go listen to that. But Ashley, I have a weird thing I want to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to get like my weird motivational like speaker hat on, which I'm not good at. But I was watching something today.
You're actually very good at it. So.
Well, this one might not make sense. So if it doesn't make sense, will you just laugh at me? Because mm-hmm. I'm sitting at, I'm back in Indiana. I came to Indiana this weekend with Jessica. She's now back in Denver to work for a few days before she comes back for the 4th of July. But I came here for my cousin Charles's wedding. He got married to the love of his life. They've been dating for years. It was a beautiful ceremony in Indianapolis, Indiana. Just an incredible wedding where I realized I cried multiple times, mostly because the father-daughter dance, which I credit your father-daughter dance also.
Aww, thanks.
They get me. I don't know what it is, but those things really get me.
wait till November.
But I'm sitting on the lake today doing this podcast, and there is a, my parents really don't like it when geese get in their yard. It's something that they like despise because the geese poop everywhere. They eat, you know, the grass up. And so they put these like streamers. It's like a very thin piece of rope around the seawall. It's like so thin. You can like, it, you can barely see it. It's like, but it's like colorful. And they put it around the whole seawall. And they decorate it like red, white, and blue, I think.
Oh, just, cute.
Yeah. But the geese, I'm watching the geese like try to come up, and they like come up to the edge, and all they'd have to do is step over it, and they would have this whole yard in front of them. And they'd have like access to everything that my parents are keeping them out of. But yet they get up to it and they just get scared. Like they don't step over it. They could. They're tall enough. It's just one string. And they just decide to stay on the other side. And as I was talking to Trista today, and maybe somebody out there can hear this, I'm wondering in my own life and out of all of our lives, like what is that thing that that's standing in front of us that like we just won't step through because like we feel like it's daunting or we feel like it's impossible or we feel like it's scary. And if we did it, like maybe, just maybe there's this whole new thing on the other side. And maybe it's just like a little streamer that might not be fun to step over. Like it might take a little bit more work. It might be a little more difficult, but when we do it, we're going to realize it was worth it. So anyways, that's on my mind right now as I enter into
the
podcast.
Okay, well, I don't think that's silly at all. I think that's actually like a really great thing to think about.
Yeah.
I can't think about what that thing would be for me, but I'm sure there's something, and I'm sure almost everybody has something.
It's just interesting. Yeah. So anyways, that's my, the other day on a podcast, I was asked like, what's my philosophy on life? So right now it's step over the streamer. And with that, we're here at the Almost Famous Podcast. Super pumped to talk to you all. And yes, Trista Sutter is coming on, the original Bachelorette, the possibly the greatest of all time. It'd be hard to argue that she's not, considering she started this whole thing out. Also, one of the catalysts and leaders to the thing that we found out about that I think is still supposed to be a secret, but we're not going to allow it to be on the Almost Famous Podcast. The text thread with all of the past Bachelorettes on one thread. She's coming on the breakdown this week's episode. But before we do, let's take a quick break. When we come back with the Almost Famous Podcast. Hey, Ashley, there is one story I forgot to tell you about my my wedding weekend. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
It just makes me smile. Just a sweet story before we bring on Trista Sutter.
About your wedding weekend? Or about this weekend? This weekend that you went to a wedding.
As I said, beautiful wedding. Awesome. Well, my grandmother, who's 81 years old,
That's pretty young for a grandmother these days.
She is. She looks good.
For her age.
Looks good. Yeah. Just a beautiful human. And she is now my only surviving grandparent, which is super weird to say, because for years of my life, I kind of had like the lucky one where I was like, I had all four.
My grandmother just turned my one surviving grandmother, who has been for a while now, just turned 98 this week.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
That's
so that's why 81 sounds young.
Yeah. Well, she got to dance with all of her grandsons. So there's the three of us that were there. And she danced with the one that was getting married to a sweet song that was her. He played it because it was my grandmother and my grandfather's song when they were married. My grandfather had written her a letter back in the day. Moon River, which has been covered by Frank Ocean recently, but it used to be sang by Andy Williams way back in the day. Yeah. And she, so he knew that, and he played it because my grandfather had written her a letter and said, hey, if you haven't heard Moon River yet, I want you to listen to it because it's a song about us. And so she bought the record, and now, since he's passed away due to Parkinson's, my cousin got to dance with her to it at his wedding, which is just so special. And then my other cousin grabbed her for a slow dance. Well, at that point, I wasn't really paying attention. She comes up to me. She goes, I've danced with all my grandsons except you. And I was like, Grandma, we need to dance together then. I said, let's dance the next song. So we get out on the dance floor. And she puts her arms around my neck, like, you know, like you, oh, just the sweetest thing. And we're dancing. We're getting ready for the song to play. Guess what song comes on?
Like something totally inappropriate.
Wobble. Wobble like a wobble. You know that like wobble song?
Yeah.
And she lets loose. Her arms start flailing. Her knees start going back and forth. And all of a sudden she hugs me and she goes, I can't dance this fast for too long. So that was our dance at the wedding. Aww. But if there's a video of that out there, and I know my
aunt,
so whose son got married, listens to this podcast, if she has a video of us dancing the wobble that she finds, please send it along, because that is a memory worth keeping forever. Well, anyways, hey. Story time with Ben is over. We have a bachelor breakdown of this week's episode to do with the one and only Trista Sutter. Let's bring her on.
Hey, Trista.
Hi.
Hello. Where are you recording at now?
In my bedroom.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So,
in Vail, near Vail, Colorado. I mean, it's the writing's on my hat.
Yes. All right. Well, I don't want to cut through the pleasantries, but this is like pretty big news in your life. You guys recently found out that Ryan, your husband of, oh my gosh, almost 20 years, huh?
We're getting close. We're getting close.
Almost.
Yeah.
You guys found out that he had Lyme disease after like not knowing what he had for over a year that was causing him bad health.
Yeah.
So how are you guys dealing with this? How do you feel? Like, is it relieving or are you guys upset because, you know, Lyme disease is something that he'll probably always will always be part of his life now?
You know, it's kind of piggybacks on my conversation that I just had with Ben for my podcast. But I try to look at the positive, and there is definitely, it's definitely a good thing to have answers. So I'm very thankful that we have answers, because not knowing is so, so, so difficult. And through the process and kind of sharing that he was going through something, so many people have reached out to us and are in the exact same situation. They have no idea what's going on with them, a loved one, you know, a friend, whatever. And it honestly is a pandemic in this country. In my mind, it's a huge pandemic that so many people don't know what's going on. And then to get a diagnosis like Lyme and mold and EBV and possibly COVID long hauler, that diagnosis, those answers actually come with so many more questions that even though we found out part of it, and yes, I am thankful and grateful for that, it's actually difficult. I mean, he's not feeling great today. And he has his up days and down days, but Lyme is so like out there still. Western medicine doesn't fully buy into it, I feel like. And we've talked to some people who have experienced it for years and years and years, and there are so many different treatments for it. And not everyone has the same success with one certain treatment. So the treatments are different. It's very unique to every person, how you find relief from this. And yes, it will be a lifetime diagnosis that he'll have to deal with. But it is difficult in that there's not like one medication that he can take. There's not surgery that he can do. So that's hard. I thank you for asking. It's been hard, to see him struggle because he is such a strong human in general. But he doesn't share that with everyone. And, so it's just hard to see the person that you love most in the world feeling like crap.
Tristan and I were able to talk, and Ashley, we've talked about on the podcast before because we thought it was important, but you know, my best friend in Denver, was diagnosed with Lyme 7 months ago. My aunt was diagnosed with Lyme 2 years ago. I have a friend from my church that is now bedridden because of Lyme. My aunt is still struggling with it. In fact, she could really not have even a full glass of wine at her son's wedding because it causes a flare up. And then, which is, you know, a small thing, but a huge thing when you think about that controlling your life. And then my best friend, he's 36 years old. He's a incredibly healthy guy. He's lost 30 pounds. He can no longer get a clear sentence spoken. It sounds like he can't process his words, and his fiance, has openly reached out, and I don't think she'd mind me sharing this, but she said, I'm really struggling because we don't know when this ends. We don't know where this goes. And he's withering away. And so I think it's a great thing to talk about, because especially with Ryan, I mean, I remember when I first met Ryan, Trista, I came to you guys' house in Vail. You invited a group of us over, and we came up and we were hanging out, and Ryan was getting ready for the time to run like a bajillion miles up a mountain. I forget what it was. It was like the stupidest amount.
It was
It was a 100-mile run up a mountain, down a mountain, and around a mountain, and then back up. It was the most ridiculous thing. And then, you know, he's a former professional football player. He's a fireman. And I mean, this is debilitating at times. Like it can crush the best of us.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. I mean, we've talked about, you know, your friend, and I feel grateful that he is among kind of one of the lucky ones with Lyme disease, in that he hasn't lost the ability to speak. He hasn't lost the ability to walk. He hasn't lost the ability to use his arms. I mean, we have a good friend, one of my close friends here, who got bit by a tick, or it actually can be transmitted by a spider as well. And she got bit, she saw the target rash and immediately, like they were on it, called the doctor, got her on antibiotics. But when she first felt or saw the rash, she remembers holding her daughter, who I think was like a year old at the time. And all of a sudden she was like, you have to take the baby, like, to her husband. And he took her daughter, and like immediately her arms stopped working. Like she couldn't use her arms. So I feel lucky in the fact that it's in certain parts of his body. We know that probably in his ankle, like he's got a bad knee, it's probably residing in those, but I don't know. I mean, he has brain fog occasionally, and the fatigue is unbearable sometimes for him, but I do feel lucky that it's not as severe as some people that we're hearing. And also that we know people who have been looking for a diagnosis for 14 years, you know, like it took us a year, which was a long time. And it still is something that he's dealing with. You know, once we figured it out, it wasn't like it automatically went away, because like I said, it's not like you just you take one med, and it's gone. So anyway, yeah.
I have a couple questions. Okay. So of course, usually come from tick bites. Does he remember ever having the bite?
So what our doctor, his doctor thinks happened was this happened a really long time ago or a long time ago. So as you guys know, we live in Colorado. He does, his religion, as he said, is the outdoors. Mm-hmm. He's always outdoors. He's always mountain biking. We camp a lot. He goes backpacking with the kids a lot. And he does remember a couple instances in his life being bitten by a tick. So it's happened before, but like I said, the doctor has said, and I don't know that this is like common knowledge. I mean, I didn't know it, but you can get infected by a spider as well. And we live in, even though there are some doctors who don't think that the ticks in Colorado carry Lyme disease, we have deer roaming our neighborhood. I mean, they're always in our backyard and they carry the ticks. So I don't know how you can say that, mm-hmm. you know, oh, well, ticks aren't in Colorado. Like what, does it cut off right at the state line? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. So yes, to answer your question, he has been bitten before, but never seen like there's a target rash or a bullseye rash that appears, with Lyme disease. So if you're one of the lucky ones and you actually see that bullseye rash, like our friend, like I just said, that's a good thing because then you can immediately go and get antibiotics. But for him, we don't know when that happened.
Isn't it weird that like we go out in the summer and we put bug spray on to not get mosquito bites, but we don't think about like tick spray or anything like that. And that right. can really cause lifelong effects.
I know. It's really interesting. And I really hope there have been quite a few pretty prominent names like Justin Bieber, Alec Baldwin, who have recently come out and said that they have Lyme disease as well. And so the hope is, and we want to do anything we can to spread the word about it, that it is a true illness. You know, it's not something that Western medicine can just brush under the rug. It is something that people struggle with daily in this country, in this world. And so we want to be able to spread the word, but yeah, you're right. Maybe hopefully soon. I know that it's all about research. And so our hope is that we can get involved in that way to help raise funds for research so that more people can find relief from their symptoms.
Well, Trista, thank you for sharing all this. And I hope that when you do find the avenues to donate and that we can support that, the whole Almost Famous listener group would love to get behind you. But there's always something within this, and that I'm learning a lot more as recently when a spouse or a loved one is going through this, we focus on them. But we're here to focus on you today. And the question is, how are you doing and how are you holding up?
You are awesome for asking that question. When we found out that he had Lyme, we were talking to a friend who has a wife with Lyme, and he mentioned, you know, how it's always about her and she's been struggling with it for a long time. And we work with an organization called First Descents. They do outdoor adventure therapy for young adults with cancer, and they actually started doing camps for the caretakers for the people who have cancer. And I always loved that. I loved that they focus their energies as well on the people who struggle. It's been hard. And not because I want any attention on me, because I want him to be better. I want him to wake up feeling great. I want him to be able to spend time with our family and make memories. And when you don't feel good, it just takes away from life, you know? And so I'm not doing great. And not just about him, you know, we talked a lot about it on my podcast, Ben. I've been struggling for sure. And I don't know if it's been COVID or, all that Ryan has been dealing with, and dealing with insurance companies and doctors, and then just life and trying to be happy for my kids. You know, they're 12 and 13 and they're relatively independent, but I want them to have a great summer and for them to have a great school year. So my focus has to be on them. But it's been a really weird year, you know, I know for pretty much the whole planet, but, it's been hard. Sorry.
No, thank you for being so vulnerable with
us. The podcast episode, and now's a great time to talk about it. I don't know when it's going to come out, Trista. You know better than me.
It will come out next week, actually, Tuesday. So
Tuesday.
Yeah.
So Trista and I got to talk a lot about where we're at in life. And Ashley knows a lot about where I'm at in life. Ashley and I were able to speak just over the phone, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, kind of about my transitions in life and things I'm experiencing and feeling. And then it was, you know, Trista had reached out maybe a month ago and said, hey, would you want to come on my podcast? And I said, yeah, let's do it. And then it finally just worked out where this week was the week that we were able to make it happen. And it was, in my opinion, as I sat here for the last hour since we recorded it, it was an incredible time because you and I were able to just speak to each other from a place of both just right now, like disorientation and confusion and a little, feeling a little sad. And so I just recommend anybody listening to it that just wants to maybe feel like they're less alone during this season. So yeah, please go listen to Trista's podcast next Tuesday. It'll be out everywhere you listen to podcasts.
Trista, one little moment of light is that Ryan did graduate from the Fire Academy this week. Yeah,
he did. Well, it happened, I want to say in April. It's been a while, but because of COVID, they weren't able to, you know, really celebrate it. So they waited, but it was still great to have a really formal ceremony. They got dressed up in their class A's, as they're called. And they had the chief of the department speaking, and it was just really special. I mean, I love a celebration. I'm all about birthdays and anniversaries, and I'm so happy that we finally got to celebrate him and his class. I mean, obviously he's been a firefighter for 17 years with Vail, and then took a year break and then went back to Vail, and then got the chance to go work with the Denver Fire Department. And he just wanted more of a challenge. And I'm really, really proud of him.
So how does that work? You have to get like re-licensed and go through the courses all over again if you're going to a new city?
It depends on where you're going. So for him, he just missed a lateral transfer, which would have meant like he was a lieutenant with the Vail Fire Department. He just missed it by, I think, like a month. So he could have laterally transferred and been a lieutenant with the Denver Fire Department. But because of timing and his certifications, he had to start over. So he was basically in an academy with 20, 30-year-olds. There were a couple older people, but one big reason that I'm really proud of him is he finished second in his class, which That's he's amazing. 46 years old. And it is really grueling. I talked to somebody who said that the Denver Fire Department is like harder than the FBI or something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. And I believe it because of, you know, the things that he told me while he was going through it. But yeah, he had to start over again, but he was willing to do that just because he wanted more challenge. He wants to continuously improve and better himself. And that happens through challenge. And so anyway, we're really proud of him.
So, I might've missed this. Are you guys moving?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, you guys are going to live in the same town. Yeah.
So, well, now is kind of an exception. He is battling an injury on his ankle that happened at the department. But before he was battling this injury, so now he's on light duty, which means that he's working in Denver during the week, which is hard too, because I'm like a single parent again. But if it was like a month ago, he would be working at one of the stations in Denver, and he works out a trade situation with one of the guys there. So he ends up only working like 7 days a month, which is great. I mean, they're 24-hour days, but yeah.
Trista, we'd love to have you in Denver. Denver's calling your name.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. We've been looking at houses.
I hear Golden is a terrific place. and there's free babysitting available in Golden. It's just really weird thing
they
have.
And vice versa. So when the babies come for you, then I'll have the babysitters for you.
That's right.
I was
going
to say, at 12 and 13, do you have babysitters anymore? It's like that weird time. Yeah. I mean, like, I think we started staying home alone around 12.
Yeah.
They've been for date nights from parents. Yeah.
I think around 10 or 11, we started it. Just like short periods of time, but now they can stay home alone. Yeah. We're fine.
And they're good. Yep. I mean, they're just like good kids. Like they are. They're good kids. Well, Trista, before we dive into breaking down this week's episode, what big projects do you have going on in your life that you want to talk about here? I would love for you to give one more shout out about your podcast, because I do think it is something special.
Thank you. Well, obviously the podcast is called Better Etc. And I wanted to do something, you know, good, put out some positive energy into the world and also into my life, because of course, while I'm doing the interviews, I get to learn lots and lots from my guests. So Better Etc. It's been really fun. As I shared with Ben, I don't know if this first season is going to continue into a second. I'm going to take the rest of the summer. After next week, I'm going to actually interview Ryan for a little update on his health. And that will be in 2 weeks on the podcast. So after that, I'm going to take a little break. That will be the end of the first season. And then I'm going to just have a little come to Jesus and see if it's something that I really want to dedicate my time to, because I know you guys know it's a lot of work. And I just need to really figure out if I want to continue it. I really have loved it, and I hope that people who listen have loved it, but we'll see. And that's really all. I mean, I'm on Instagram at Trista Sutter, and I have, like you, Ashley, I don't know if you do them, Ben, but I've been doing the Amazon live streams, which I'm loving. They're so fun. I love.
Yeah, they're fun.
I mean, I am an Amazon freak, because when you live where I live, you don't have like a Target or a Macy's or a whatever to go to. You have Amazon. So we buy everything on Amazon. So I've been doing, you know, the live streams. So I have a storefront on Amazon.
Is there a theme that you like talking about the most?
Do you know, I haven't done that many. The first one I did was for Father's Day, and that was awesome, of course. I'm doing a beauty, like skincare. I get lots of questions, as I know you do too. Highs and lows with skincare, Ashley.
I was like, yeah.
But beauty and skincare, and then like kids gifts, like I always want to know what to get different ages, and the tween age is where I'm at with Blakesley especially and Max. So I'm really enjoying just kind of researching all of that stuff and giving people tips on, you know, what they can get for these different categories. I'm all about organization. So the organization part of it really is fun for me, like just on the storefront itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been really fun. So
tween gifts are hard, right? Because it's so easier to shop for kids, but then they get to be that age and you're like, what are they into anymore? Do they even playing with things?
I know. And I give gift cards to everybody because I don't know. And I don't want to get something that they already have. Mm-hmm. So this has been really fun because I can kind of organize and research on Amazon what, you know, because they always do the like, people buy this with this, you know, the recommended purchases, you know, with, so that's been, that's a really fun little, project for me. So.
Nice.
Trista Sutter, you're somebody special. We cannot wait to break down this week's episode with you. It is going to be Fantastic. We're going to dive into all the hard questions. Like, does Trista like Katie? Does she ever talk to Katie? Has she ever talked to Katie? And what does she think of this week's episode right after the break?
Do you love witty sarcasm and talking fast? And are you longing to return to Stars Hollow for one more trip to Kim's Antiques or just to pick up a few things at Dozie's Market? Is an overnight stay at the Dragon Flame on your list of plans for a getaway? Is a burger from Luke's Diner on the menu for tonight? This is Scott Patterson. I was Luke Danes for 153 episodes and in 4 Netflix movies. I am all in an iHeartRadio podcast. Come hang with us. We're re-watching together. We're visiting with all our favorite cast and crew members. We talk fast. We've got a lot to say. Listen to I Am All In wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, let's start with one of Ben's questions. Have you spoken to Katie outside of the Bachelorette group chat?
I was just going to say that was going to be my go-to. So yes, we have our Bachelorette group chat, and yes, you know, as a group, we've talked to each other, which I love, by the way. Part of my struggle is kind of feeling, trying to, deal with the fact that I feel like an old washed up Bachelorette.
So nobody ever thinks about you that way.
Thank you. But, so the Bachelorette group text, you know, kind of gives me life, and I love being able to add the, you know, anybody new who comes along, which we do every time. And it will be exciting to be able to add Michelle. Isn't it Michelle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming up here soon. I DM'd her. We haven't talked after, outside of all of this and my DMs, but I DM'd her when everything went down on the last season of The Bachelor, when she stood up for Sarah. And I just felt like, thank you for putting yourself out there and standing up for the person that you felt like was being treated unfairly. I thought that was really awesome of her to do. And I like supporting, you know, those kind of people. But that's the only connection that I've had to her thus far.
What's your overall vibe of this season? Ben and I really like it.
I do too. I love that she's kind of like the girl next door. Real raw person who ended up, share the part where she shared about her sexual assault. Mm-hmm. I feel like so many people can relate to her, mm-hmm. including me. And that's why I'm really loving her.
She's been incredibly, you're right. Like the girl next door in the best of ways too. Like she's like relatable. You watch her and you're like, okay, if my best girlfriend who I know goes on the show, like I believe she would handle stuff this way. Right. She's allowing us into the relationships. Like she's asking the right questions. She's digging in a bit with these guys, which I think has allowed us to get to know the guys better.
Yeah.
And I think that's also a sign that she's ready for a relationship. Like for years, you know, even on The Bachelor, we had like leads who were like, "Are you really ready for a relationship? Like, is this really something that you're into? Because you're not asking anything."
Couple years in a row.
Yeah. You're like, you're not asking any questions and you're not digging in and you're not even like entering into the hard stuff. You're just kind of like there. And with
her, you're just kissing everybody.
You're just kissing. And like with Katie, it's like, no, we can tell that you're into this. Like this is this, you're committed to this, which I've enjoyed.
There's a lot of substance, you know, there's a lot of emotion and we're only 4 weeks in. I will say that this episode is probably my least favorite of the episodes, but that's just because I felt like there was so much unnecessary overblown drama with Thomas. Let's get to that after, because I want to go in chronological order, even though there's not much besides I like finished the episode and I'm like, wait a second, what happened?
Right.
Oh, there was one group date and then Thomas drama. There wasn't a one-on-one. There wasn't a second group date. So
true.
First group date, real fun, a continuation of like the theme that I think that they've been doing such a good job with this season, and that is group dates that tell us about the guy's personality. It's like silly, you know, whatever you want to call it, scavenger hunt or like truth or dare. And they're just getting along really well. The guys are like paired off. You get to see them eat, speak little dirty nothings to that big ear with the speaker attached. It's just fun. We're getting to know them.
Yeah.
Anything that stood out to you there? Because the only thing that's standing out to me here is that, like, I'm a little bizarred out as to why Andrew keeps speaking in the British accent. It's like, it sounds great. It sounds really good. But like, I'm like, wait a second. Is it real? Oh, no, it's not real. And he's used it twice already in the scene.
Yeah.
I literally did the same thing. I was like, wait, who's that guy?
Is there another guy? Oh, yeah, I was like, is that Andrew or is that another guy? And I'm forgetting about him.
Yeah. Totally. I thought it's really fun. I love the depth of the conversations that have been in the past. And, you know, especially in the scene with Nick, the group date with Nick. I really loved the depth. I do like that this season. What stood out about this episode to me, even though I don't think they didn't spend a lot of time on it, is Blake coming back.
Yeah.
And I really like him. I agree with you wholeheartedly about the Thomas drama. It just drives me crazy when they focus on that kind of drama, because I really do want to see the development of the relationships over anything. I know that they have to. We all know this from being on the show. They have to input the drama and continue to ride that wave. But I just can't stand it in some instances. And this is one of them.
This is one of them because it's so forced. There was no other drama apparently going on. Right. So they just really clung on to this. Yeah. So it gets brought up again at the group date, like cocktail party.
Yes.
And that was the argument between Trey and Andrew. And yes. I honestly saw both sides of this. I wanted to just be on Andrew's side. And Andrew was like, you guys, like, focus on your own relationship. Mm-hmm. Let her figure everything out. And then Trey was like, are you kidding? I have to protect her from, like, bad people. Right. And when he said that, I was like, yes and no. I was like, I guess. But I want to be fully on Andrew's side here. And then Trey was like, what if she found out that you knew and you didn't say anything? And I'm like, Andrew just seems like the kind of person who's like seen this show before and knows that tattling doesn't always go over well or doesn't benefit your own relationship.
Yeah.
But then look at Trey got the rose for talking about it.
Yeah.
Katie seems to be a bachelorette that really does appreciate being told about what's going on in the house. But I think we talked about this a lot last week. These guys like really think it's Survivor or something, and they can vote the guy they don't like out every week.
No kidding. Like, where did that ever come from? And the whole like game mentality with Carl and, you know, I'm just, okay, I'm in the game or whatever. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I get it that we have called it a game, you know, over the years, but to me, it really isn't a game. I want them to be able to, like, you know, fight hard for love, but that really turned me off. And I have to say, Ashley, I totally agree with you. I was drawn between both of them because I do think that whenever I watch the show, I'm like, just tell her. But in the same regard, I think Andrew has a great point that if you tell her, something's going to happen and time is going to be taken away from us. And it was like at the rose ceremony, he was like, this is exactly what I was worried about. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to miss out on time with her. And that's exactly what's happening because of all this drama with Thomas.
You guys are right. Like, there's very little amount of strategy involved in this show. Like, you can't go into it going, this is my strategy to win. One that's manipulative. It's weird. It's awkward. Like, yes, you can have strategy in when you talk and what you say and don't say and how you present. Like, that's fine, you know, but ultimately, like, if you're going to win this thing based on how you've planned to win it, that's messed up from a lot of different reasons. I want to ask the question to the listeners in this moment. because we're going to share our opinions, but your opinion always matters to us and always gives us a different perspective. Like, were you angry at Thomas here? Did you find what he did to be incredibly wrong? Or was this an overplayed dramatic event that was just the highlight of the episode and they needed, like, everybody wanted to make it something because all the contestants there were like, hey, everybody here gets along and these guys are great and we need to figure out which one can go. I don't love that he was pushed aside because he had thoughts of being the Bachelor. I think, you know, all three of us have done this show. I would say when I went on The Bachelorette, not only was I just excited for the opportunity, I was excited for what it was going to mean for my life. Like, that I had a story to tell, that I had maybe love was involved in that. Maybe it wasn't. And if it wasn't, then, like, maybe I just get to meet cool people and, you know, tell my friends and family I was on the show at one point in my life. And I wonder, I just think also, though, to give a little criticism to Thomas, I think he was really bad at explaining himself. I think his biggest mistake here was that he continued to fall back into this sales pitchy, like, response to things, and it never came off genuine when all he had to say was, like, something authentic. It just never felt like he was really explaining himself. It felt like he was just missing the mark there, which might be the reason why finally he just kind of blew up in his face.
Yeah, I think you're totally dead on with that, in that they would ask him a question, whether it was the guys or Katie. I mean, she at one point said, I need an answer. You know, didn't she say, like, no, that's not what I asked you. Like, give me clarification. I'm asking you, did you want to be the Bachelor? And I get it in terms of, like, the mentality, like, it seems like she's saying, if you aren't coming here for love and that's it, then you can leave. What I think I would love to have kind of counseled her on is, there are going to be people here, let's be realistic, that come here and think, yeah, I would love to fall in love, but if that doesn't happen and I have this platform that I can use for good, or, you know, whatever, that can be a good thing. I don't personally like the people who go on the show just to be famous, you know, like, you can smell that. And I don't like it, but let's be honest. Like, there are people who come on the show and they're like, I'm going to have this platform and I want to be able to use it. And if it's for something good, great. If they want to just, you know, become more famous, I don't like it. And I think that Katie she thought it's like a black and white thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he's coming on the show thinking that he wants to be the next Bachelor, then that's telling me that he is not here for love. But I think that there can be both. Mm-hmm. You know, you can come on the show and be realistic and think, you know, if it doesn't happen for us, then it would be fun to be the Bachelor. I'm going to be honest. But I think she was thinking very black and white about it. And I think the guys were too.
Yeah.
I think that was so perfectly put. You took the words out of my mouth. Like I say all the time, broken record here. You shouldn't be signing up for the show unless, like, you're marriage oriented, relationship ready, and wanting to fall in love. But that doesn't have to be the only reason you sign up for the show.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so crazy to think that this guy last week, in a moment in which he was supposed to be vulnerable and talk about his own red flags, he admitted that he was there. Mm. He signed up initially for, like, a platform. He was being super honest.
Yeah.
And then he's totally plummeted because of that honesty. And it's just like everyone who's been on the show before, you, me, Ben, we're thinking, like, these thoughts have crossed everyone's mind. So that's why it's super infuriating. Okay, fine. Maybe I'm a little bit too heated over it. But I think it's very frustrating to watch these guys gang up on Thomas for something that you just know has been in their head as well.
Yeah.
And I almost wish that, like, Caitlin and Tayshia would have, like, made a joke about it, because I could see Caitlin making a joke about it.
I could too, yeah.
Right? About, like, she's like, well, there was a certain point where I started to think, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and also, like, just going on the show to have fun, because that's what I feel like a lot of people do. They think this is a cool experience. It's a once in a lifetime thing. And if I fall in love, bonus, you know? I don't know. I think there's something to be said for just looking at it realistically instead of, you know, coming after him. If that was his MO and that's the only reason he came on the show and he's not open to love, then that's one thing. But
yeah,
I think that he's open to it. He just, like you said, Ben, he had a horrible way of expressing that.
I wonder if there's more behind the scenes too. Like there, because a lot of the guys, when he would talk, were saying things like, oh, you know, of course this is what Thomas would say. And oh yeah, here he goes again. Like, I just wonder if they knew more than what we are seeing. And that's why they were all so up in arms about it, because I would have a hard time believing that if all of them were honest with themselves, that not one other person in that room would have stood up and been like, yeah, you know what? Like, I thought that too. Like, I was like feeling the same way. So like, maybe we should be like, there had to be more. And if so, we just never saw it because he obviously got let go. In the midst of all of this, I need to bring out somebody that is now going to take the trophy as the best of something of all time on this show. And I'm going to give it out, and everybody's going to agree with me because they have to. And I hold the mic. We have a man, I don't know his name. We have a guy this season who makes the best facial expressions of all time on the franchise. I don't know his name. 100% he does. The guy with the guy that opens up his eyes, who rolls his eyes.
Oh, Justin. Yeah, okay. He's good.
Justin.
Yeah,
that's good.
Justin.
Facial expressions. Just watch. And I'm sure memes are going to be put out. Like that guy, my dad does this thing where like when he like wants to be funny, he opens his eyes real big and it's just like, it doesn't fit. It's just like a little awkward. And you're kind of like, why are your eyes open so big? Justin does the same thing, like the exact same thing. And I'm going to give him the award. I know we've had some good ones, over there, but I'm going to give it to him.
Okay. I have one more thing to say about Thomas before we move on. Actually, I have a couple more things. One, all the guys kept saying he was like manipulative, and I'm like, was he manipulative, or is he a sweet talking guy who's like a little too suave for his own good, and he speaks like a lot of bullshit, you know? It's like a lot of flowery talk, right? Yeah, politician, right? Who also said he wanted to be the Bachelor. Because I didn't see anything where he was like trying to manipulate the other men. They were like, he manipulated me. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fine line, because you sit down with a guy and he's like honest with you and you feel like you have a good connection with him and you feel like you can be vulnerable around him and all this stuff. And then like I said, maybe there's more than we're not seeing here, because he obviously burnt some bridges, and like he had a whole group of good dudes like angry at him. Like not one dude in that house stood up for him. Not one.
No.
Other than kind of saying, hey, like, why are you telling Katie this is just going to take time away from me? It wasn't really standing up for him at all. So there had to be more to it. That's my assumption at this point, that we just didn't see.
Yeah. Okay. You can always assume that.
Yeah.
Cause you know that like 90% of the show or whatever it is ends up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's more to it.
And then, going off that, the way that Katie dumps him at the end during the rose ceremony, thinking that he's getting the final rose, and then she's just like, you're disgusting, leave. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel bad for this guy. I can't believe this is happening.
I did too.
That was a big moment. That was a big moment.
Can I ask you a question though? She had that final rose.
She never gave it out.
She didn't give it to anyone. I wanted it to go to Christian. I think Christian's so cute. I don't know where he's been. I don't know why she didn't like him.
She never ended up getting out, right?
You're not going to give it to Thomas, but what the hell? Give it to somebody.
I think she figuratively gives it to Blake, which is why she goes to his room afterward.
Right. Oh my gosh, you're right. Yes. Yeah.
Ashley, you're so good at this show. Wow. Stop. You're so good at this. That makes sense. Well, the funny, not the funny part. I don't know if it's sad or funny. The show ends after the final rose and the guys get released. There was two dudes there I had never seen before. Is that just me? I thought I've watched every episode, but the one guy says goodbye to her. I was like, I have not seen your face one time in four episodes.
That happens to me all the time. Yeah. And then I have to say, as you get older, it will happen to you more and more.
Oh, that just means I'm aging. Good. Well, that's cool.
Okay, I guess let's talk about Blake now before we let Trista go after she's been on with us for so long and we are so grateful for you. How do we feel Blake's getting? Like, how far is he going? Is this connection real? I think that possibly, because I think if you had asked me a couple weeks ago, I would have thought that Thomas was going to get far. And now I'm like having to fill in a blank where Thomas stood and mm-hmm. could be Blake.
I think he gets far, actually. You know, of course, in all the previews, I'm always kind of investigative in terms of the previews when
they
come out.
The previews are the best part.
I know. Yeah. No, it's such the best part. So, you know, we haven't been able to see him because, of course, they're not going to put him in previews
right.
Because they didn't want to give up the secret beforehand. But I would think he goes far. I mean, they seem like they have a lot of things in common just off the bat in terms of humor and I think humility. And I really like them together. I don't know. I'm bad at choosing, though, so I'm probably wrong.
I feel him.
I think he goes far. I will say this. The worst thing these dudes can do is be super against him coming into the house now, because I was on a season with Caitlin where Nick came back and like half the guys kind of put their foot down and were like, we're going to be against this for no really good reason. Like that didn't really affect them that much. Right. Like they still were able to date Caitlin. They were still able to go like on one-on-ones. They were still able to get to know her, but instead they changed their focus to being like anti Nick, which totally destroyed there
a lot of them
so like at this point, is it ideal that another guy's joining? No. Can you be a little upset about it and be like, that kind of bums me out, because that kind of sends the message that she's not sold yet on you, maybe a little bit? Like I can see where you take a little personal offense to that, but then just like be okay with it, because it's not worth your time and it's going to end out how you want it to end out anyways. But Blake's coming on. I think he's around a while. And I think the guys, from what we see, get really upset. And I bet they ruin themselves in the process.
They need somebody new, because we had Cody, then we had Carl, then we had Thomas. And now they're looking for the next guy to vote off. What do they call it?
In Survivor? Yeah.
What do they call it? The island?
Yeah.
Trying to vote him off the island.
Yeah. You don't get the little peace pipe or whatever that thing is.
I have one more thing to say. I know. I'm so horrible. One more thing. You guys, how cute is Michael?
Great.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, what a masterpiece he is. He got so emotional talking to her. He's such a cutie pants. Now he should be the next Bachelor.
Oh, I think he is. If he's not with her, I think it's a shoo-in. I think.
Yeah.
And I think it's like a massive home run for the show if they make him the Bachelor.
Yeah, right? He's the Bachelor we need.
Oh, I love him. He has to bring his kid on the show. Although, like, logistically, I'm like, I don't see that happening with a child. But, he is. I love him.
We've never had a widowed or widower be the lead.
We haven't. You're right.
Wait. You're right. I thought we did.
What? No, Jason Mesnick had brought Ty on it, but he wasn't a widower.
I guess Emily. Yeah.
Oh.
They weren't married, but yes. Very soon.
Right. Okay,
you know.
The girls, but we haven't had a widow.
Yeah. We got to get a guy in there. I think he's great. I think I'm a huge Michael fan. If he becomes the Bachelor, Michael, if you listen to this podcast or if it gets passed on to you, there's only one request I have. Selfishly, I want to talk to you. I want to meet you. I want you to give me all of your life wisdom. Speaking of life wisdom, again, Trista Sutter is the very first Bachelorette, the GOAT, the OG, and the best of ways. We have a podcast coming out next week that everybody listening here should go over and tune into. It was just something incredible for me to be able to talk to Trista for so long about something so personal. Trista Sutter, thank you for coming on the Almost Famous podcast. Thank you for being ridiculous with us and breaking down this week's episode. You are incredible.
Thank you.
You are.
I love it with you guys anytime. I've loved my time with you. Always, always. So thank you so much for having me.
So fun. Thank you.
This week, we're very thankful for Trista Sutter for joining us for the breakdown of the episode. But now it's time for one of your favorites. It's Bachelor headlines, and we're going to run through these quickly. There's a lot of them. Ashley is prepared and ready to go with them. The first one is Bachelorette Katie Thurston likes shady meme about frontrunner Greg Grippo. This according to us. Now, Ashley, this is a big, big article because it's...
This is my favorite hot topic this week.
Yeah. So like it's hinting at a bunch of things. What do we know? What do you think? Like we have to make some assumptions here.
Okay, so we know that Greg, well, in the headline, it states he's a front runner. I would say he's the number one front runner
by
right
far
now.
Yeah.
Right? Well, Becca Martinez, she shared a meme of Greg from, I guess it was last week. And it says, when the guy next to you is getting interrogated about wanting to be the bachelor, aka Thomas, and you've got to pretend to be disgusted while hiding your acting career aspirations. And that's in reference to Greg having acting career aspirations. Now, what's juicy about this is that Katie liked the meme on Instagram, whatever, social media. And then she unliked it.
Ooh.
Oh, like she was like, oh, can't be too obvious. Can't have fans see this. Unlike. So to me, that means that Greg doesn't win.
This is a big deal. And
it's a big deal.
You don't like a meme of somebody you care about, especially a one like this. So what it's hinting at, we don't know. I'm assuming we'll find out as the season progresses. And, a little frustrating because I thought, you know, like Greg seemed perfect in a lot of ways, right?
They seemed like that bachelor it couple. Like yeah. I was like, oh, Greg and Katie, they're a good one.
Greg and Katie. Well, we'll see if it happens. Speaking of past bachelors, though, I thought this was hilarious. I'm going to share this headline just because I watched it and I hope Claire doesn't take offense to it because I don't think it was meant in this. It was just kind of funny. Juan Pablo and daughter Camila reenact his bachelor breakup with Claire Crawley.
Did you watch this?
Yeah, it's like I thought it was cute.
Yeah, I mean that's nothing. You know, I hope she's not annoyed by that either. It's funny. It's like father daughter playtime.
Yeah, super cute. Anyways, go out and check it out. It's pretty funny. Well, big headline this week is, according to OK, which, you know, give or take a little bit, newly out bachelor Colton Underwood spotted cozying up to, is this Posse
star? Pose
star Johnny Sibley on vacation in Mexico. So Colton, I mean, I guess from this article, it seems like he's moving on and out there dating.
That's what they're trying to make it seem like, but I'm not really sure that there's anything here.
Okay.
I mean, this is truly an Instagram post, guys.
Oh.
From, I think Johnny, wait, did Johnny even post one? Yeah, okay. So Johnny posted a picture. Did Colton post a picture?
I'm sure they did. They're on vacation in Mexico, so
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, but like they're in a big group. Oh, no. Yeah, but like, it's a big group and he's like next to another reality star. So they're trying to make something out of it. We have nothing beyond that. They said they're close in the photo. They're like not kissing. They don't like have any romantic body language. But apparently they also were snapping pics of them sipping margaritas and enjoying some chicken nuggets. So if you want to call that romance, I mean, I do find chicken nuggets to be a way to my heart, you know,
but
Johnny, you guys, is from, Pose, and he has close to 200,000 Instagram followers.
Well, hey, there you go. He's out there. They're out there. They're in Mexico, obviously having a good time. Well, final headline.
He's in Hacks. Okay. So he's an actor. He's in that new show Hacks on HBO Max. It's actually really cute. I like that show. And he plays, I think he's the water guy. You'd have to watch the show, but it's cute.
Well, final headline. I bet it's cute. I bet it's awesome. Go watch it. Who knows what's happening in Mexico? We can't really make assumptions, but it's nice to see him having a good time. Well, final headline this week is Sean Lowe is boycotting the franchise over Chris Harrison's exit. Wife Catherine reveals this according to Us.
She just says that I'm watching the show. My husband is kind of boycotting it because of the Chris Harrison stuff, but I'm watching it to support the girls. It's been interesting. It's been an interesting season. It's just the beginning. I'm excited for Katie. Not much there. It's not like Sean's commenting on it, but
he's stepping away.
I can, you know, I can see him being doing. Yeah, I can see him making this decision.
Yeah, well, he's stepping away for a bit. Well, that's all the headlines we got this week. Quiet week in Bachelor Nation, which is always something we should celebrate because it means that all of us hooligans aren't doing anything too crazy. Well, before we say goodbye to you this week, we do have a really special guest. One of our interns, Lauren, is on the line right now to tell us about her connection with one of the current cast members on this season of The Bachelorette. Lauren, you with us?
Hi, yes, I am.
Hello, Lauren. So we heard that Andrew, who I would say is a front runner, one of my favorites, was an instructor of yours. You see, what did he teach you?
Andrew M. was my water polo coach when I was 12.
Well, wait, how old are you now?
Now I'm 19, almost 20.
Okay. So wait, what is water polo?
What is water polo? Ashley.
It's only really a big thing in California. So, but it's a water sport with the ball where you just like swim and you score goals into a net.
Okay. So what do you know about Andrew?
So Andrew, actually, we didn't know who our coach was going to be when we were 12. And then when we found out that it was him, we were all super excited because we thought that he was so cute and mm-hmm. he was so nice. One of the things that I remember about him is after our first practice, he knew every single girl on my team's name. So he was like very caring, very sweet. We had the Junior Olympics, also we call it JOs. And after JOs, he had all of the players and our parents over to his house.
Oh.
And he, he said nice things about all of us. He was just such a great guy. Really love him. So definitely rooting for him on The Bachelorette.
Do you feel like he is husband material?
I do. Oh. He was always so good to all the kids on the team. Since we were so young, after every game, we came up with cheers and chants and dances, and he would get in the middle of them, cheer with us, dance with us. He was so funny. Loved him.
So sweet.
Well, yeah, he's such a sweet guy.
So we're shipping Andrew and Katie, or we're shipping Andrew with somebody at some point in this franchise.
Definitely.
We're on his team. Okay, I like that. Doesn't change my perspective of the guy. I kind of liked him already, but now,
yeah,
now I'm all in. Well, hey, Lauren, thank you for joining us on your first appearance on the Almost Famous podcast. I know this is such a nerve-wracking experience to come on here and have to talk to Ashley. I have to do it every day. I get it. But we're thankful for you. Well, with all of that, we want to thank you once again to Trista Sutter. Thank you, Lauren, for joining us. As always, thank you, Ashley, for jumping on board.
And as always, thank you, Ben.
Oh, that's sweet. Hey, we'll be back next week to break down another episode of Katie's season of The Bachelorette. We'll be back right here, same time, same place. But before we do, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.